day the Lord hath made.
Roy,
we had to do it without you last week. I'm just telling you that right now. But they were good. They were good. Don actually led it from the back right there. Oh, good morning. Thank you for you sang great. All the best singers came this morning. You what, sweetheart? I told you there was a forecast of rain. That's right. Y'all can't go anywhere. So hey, all right, yeah. No, we're not. I'm not gonna tease you. I want to make a statement to you right off front. God is trying to speak to you. He's trying to speak to us. God is trying to speak to us. He is trying to speak to us. Are we listening? Sometimes we don't listen. We don't listen. You know, you hear these people say, "I got married, but you know, they didn't tell us that his ears don't work." We were laughing about the last night. We were laughing back and forth about something. They said the wedding vow ought to be for the lady ought to say, and yes, for the rest of your life, you'll have to wonder what this guy wants to eat every day for the rest of his life. That's part of your deal there that you'll have to do. And but people don't listen, and people are just dumb a lot of time. I mean, it's amazing. People are just dumb out there. It's amazing. Don't you know God laughs? God laughs. Somebody said you can't fix stupid, but you can numb it with a 2x4. All right, yeah. I'm not advocating that, but I just thought it was kind of fun. Today, our message for last week and this week is a one word that we're using. It's a beautiful word. It's a picture word. I think it's a loving word. It's a nurturing word. One word by itself. The word is, you remember, abide. And with abide, that connotates closeness, a commitment, a covenant. And by the way, this is a concept that the culture today does not have time for. It takes time. It takes time. Our culture will try to demean, to intimidate, and insult the one that wants to get close to God. But don't let the culture take you down. Don't let the culture take you out. Don't let the culture discourage you or intimidate you. Our friend David Crank in St. Louis said it this way: it's better to be on the wrong side of the culture if you're on the right side of Jesus. And that's a good word right there. How many of you want to be on Jesus' side? You know, she was talking about the Old Testament wars and going on. There was one time they said, who wants to be on the Lord's side? That's when you put your right hand up. I want to be on the Lord's side. Amen. And that's a good word. Always our starting point today is this affirmation that we've been making. Stand to your feet. Let's make the affirmation of the day, the affirmation of our lives, the affirmation that we stand on, the starting point of number one. And I want you to make the confession with me together. Put it up for me, Mary Alice. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. We do it twice. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Be seated. God bless you. It's kind of windy up here. I look like a Beyonce video. Everything blowing here. I'm so glad you're here today. Let's move on. This word is wise. Next statement. This word does not change. The word does not change along with the culture of the day. The word doesn't change according to the mores of the day. What the word says is there. One of our heroes in our house that we've loved to listen and watch, Justice Clarence Thomas. His book is a great book, by the way. And it's a terrific book. And they were asking him questions about the changing mindset. Well, you know, these are different times. And he was speaking to them from the viewpoint, yeah, but certain things do not change. They do not change. And he said it in a simplistic way, but it just thundered when he said it. Here's what Clarence Thomas said. North is still north. North is still north. North is still north, and God is still trying to speak to us. He said, we look at different things, but north is still north. That's not going to change. You can say, well, this is the way it is, but that it's not going to change on your compass. It's going to point north, which is, I think, about that way right now. And north is always going to be north. You can change cultures. You can put a dress on him, and you can put a wig on him, but north will always be north. He can give him a bag and choose to match, but when he's 40, he he's going to need a prostate exam. He's got, I mean, you can do everything that you say. You can't, north is always going to be north. The word is the word. Last week, we started a deep dive into our theology, why we do what we do. It was a deep dive into our covenant concept, how we live each day of our lives. We were in John chapter 15, verse 1. I won't read everything I read, but just to give you a brief pickup right now, where Jesus said, he said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. That's the grapevine. And my Father is the vine dresser. And he said, every branch, this is verse 2, every branch, that means all branch in me, that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. Every branch that bears more fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. That, boy, that's a hard thing to understand. Verse number 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. Now notice verse number 4, abide in me. Stop right there. The New Living Translation says, remain in me, okay? That stay, don't veer off. Don't let the culture or the mores or the passage of time or what you hear, the onslaught over and over and over that you hear, don't let that be taken away right now. He said, if you abide in me and I in you, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Verse number 5, I am the vine. He says it again. Ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That last line should be a wake-up call for you. That is an establishment clause in this word right now. He is saying without God, we can't do, we can't be, we can't become, we can't produce, we can't even live to be the God-ordained finished product. You know, the gospel is a great whosoever will, and we sell that as the positive thing, but it is also a whosoever will in the negative thing. If anyone does not abide in me, verse 6, he's cast out as a branch, withered. They gather them up, throw them in the fire, they're burned up. But verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. New Living Translation says, it will be granted to you. See, this is what makes your prayers effective. It's not an aimless wish, by the way. It is our petitions are grounded on the authority and the history of God's word. Okay, it's not a scattergun type thing. And it's not a wish. And a lot of people think they're wishing. Like the little kid said, I've had a lot of luck, good luck with my prayers. No, that's not understanding that situation there right now. We're not, and people are wishing and wishing. I saw David Griffin this week, the head man of the Pelicans, And he said, hope's not going to get you anywhere. He said, you better be in condition. You know, you better be in condition right now. I did hear a funny story that Linda and I have laughed at a few times the last few weeks. Guy said, a genie granted me one wish. He said, I just want to be happy. He said, but now I'm living in a cottage with 6 dwarves and I'm working in a mine. How many of you have got to be careful what you ask for? By this, what do you mean? If you abide in me, words in you, ask what you will, shall be done to you. Verse 8, by this, today is the by this part of the message. By this, my Father is glorified that you will bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Oh, I love this verse. I was very fortunate. I just took a moment last week. I'm going to take just a few more moments right now, do something kind of in that ballpark. Lynn and I are very fortunate. Some of you are very fortunate that we grew up in an era. There are certain eras that God quickened certain things of our heart. And it was coming into the late 60s, going into the 70s, and we were kind of on the front edge of some of the movement of worship and the sounds that were coming into the church, coming out of maybe some of the basic hymnology or some of the simplistic choruses. But there was a touch of people singing scriptures. And scripture song, books came out, and they were popular. And with this one, we go, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. And you do it again, we learned that from a song. maybe you can't memorize some things, or you say, I'm too old. But there's something about a song that hooks something in your brain, and you remember it. You will remember it forever. Where did we learn? This is the day that the Lord hath. It was in the Bible. I will enter his gate. That's in the Bible right now. We would sing the complicated. We could sing Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him on the sound of the trump. We could sing all the complicated, a whole chapter, and it was done to that. We would sing the complicated Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were are you hearing some things here right now? God did some things, and we learned. You say, well, I can't learn that. I'm too old. Learn some of the songs. Sing some of the songs. Go find some of those. It'll stick with you. Songs and tunes stick with you. Watch this. What's the address of Rosenberg's Furniture House? Bingo. You didn't even have to pray about it, did you, right there? It's all there. I rest my case right now. I rest my case. Uh-huh. I rest my case. And I've never been there. I don't even know if it's still there, but I know the address there. My baloney has a first name. I know that. I can sing all those. I can sing about the, I'm stuck on the Band-Aid and the Band-Aid stuck on me. I know all of those things there. That's in a useless corner in my brain where all these things are stored over here. But God made us that way. And you got my imagination going when we left last week of some of those songs that we looked at, and it came out of Scripture. So maybe I'm going to, in the next few weeks, maybe take some of the old Scripture songs and maybe bring them to you, and it'll be amazing here. But when I read this verse, this is quickened inside of me. Throughout our history, there has been a rebirth of Scripture in song. Why? Why? So that it sticks with us right now. So the question is, why do we want to abide? We have been designed on purpose and for a purpose. He wants us to abide with him. We have been enlisted to follow his process in order to realize the finished product that he wants. Last week we did a theological and a historical dive a bit, and in the process I want to tell you what happens when we start listening to the word and growing in the word. This is why it was very important where what Linda was saying about every day in the word of singing. You said something about it. Lynn said something about it. This is where the abide things begins to happen. As I told you, this message today is the two words, the by this part. By this. This is how you abide, and people will know that you're a disciple right now. Clearly it is here right now. He said these things to us. What is the process? What's the process? The process is a series of action that are marked by gradual changes that lead toward a desired result. When's the best time to start? Right now. When's the best time to sing his praises? Right now. And it starts, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it over and over. Oh, you might think, I can't do this. Just start a little bit. It's the concept of conversion, by the way. Every one of you have prayed the initial prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You've all prayed that prayer, but the question is, have we gone on deeper? Have we gone on deeper? See, there's a difference between conversion and discipleship. Here's the difference. Conversion happens in an instant. He forgives us. But discipleship is the way of living out our doctrine in the work of a lifetime. It is a daily thing. The daily song, as you said. The daily reading there. Yes, we're saved. We're on the bus. We're going to go. We got a ticket. We're going to go there. But if we want more, we need to abide. What does it mean? What is it going to cost? It is a daily thing. It never stops. If you think you're going to do this drive-by for 90 minutes on one day, and you're going to come in, and you're going to be blessed, and you're really going to grow, and yet you've got a whole nother language and a whole nother life and a whole nother mindset, and you have divided that. No, the line should be right there. It is all foundation. We are walking as a disciple unto the Lord. You see, there are four principles of fruit bearing through these scriptures we read. I could stop on each one, but I'm just going to throw it out to you. First, you got the no fruit. You got the bare fruit. You got more fruit, and you got much fruit. And with a constant thread of reminder all along is the statement I read a minute, for without me, you can do nothing. Start there in your growth in your abiding and make that want you to get close. Well, God's fortunate to have me, some people think. Verse 16 says quite the contrary. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Can you look in the mirror and say, God chose you, dude? God chose, and not only did he choose you and say, I want to make this life a party, but he appointed you. That's the by this part, got it? He appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my name, he may give it to you. I told you last week, there in multiple translations, in just these passages alone, 10 times you either see the word remain or abide. Multiple translations, 7 or 8 times it says abide in me. It's specific of where the abide is. It's quite clear in John 15, branches by themselves are useless unless they are connected to the true vine. And your purpose and my purpose in this walk of discipleship should always be in alignment with this concept. Keep close. Keep engaged, stay engaged, abide. You know what you got to do? I said, what can I tell them? What can I tell them briefly? You know what your job is? Work your walk. 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 Do it. It's clear. But yet we are living in a time where the casual mindset, not only in where it is today, the casual of God's presence. Now, that's human nature, by the way. As long as there was a threat of them really believing that God was going to deal with them, they went through the drill of raising the one lamb for a year. And they went and they made the sacrifice, and how awful it was. And they heard the bleeding of that innocent lamb in there, even the little children who had raised that little animal all that year, how awful that sounded. But God was reminding them of the awfulness of sin that separated man. Well, you fast forward. They've gotten cold with this thing. And here's Jesus comes on the scene. He's going to the temple. And you know what they're doing on the way to church? They're buying their sacrifice. There's no relationship. There's no remorse. There's no thought for that. It is a mechanical. That's the world we still live in, and it's a mechanical drill that people go through. They would buy that sacrifice. It meant nothing to them to throw a few dollars down there and buy that. That cry meant nothing. They had nothing in this fight, and he was showing. So we need to be reminded that the sacrifice over and over, it must be done. We must stay engaged. And geez, here's the problem. You got 18 Bibles in your house. You got 10 church channels. You got all kinds of, you got bumper stickers. We've done the drill, but have we really been discipled in the word right now? Here's what I would lovingly warn you about. This is the strongest warning I'll give you, but I'm giving it in a loving way right now. Because our concern for wanting to abide starts getting dim. And pretty soon we start buying the sacrifice on the way into the worship time. And this was the statement that came to me. Do not become a casualty to casualness, but be a follower of faithfulness. Be a follower of faithfulness is a quality. Even the scripture says, who can find somebody that's faithful? We're always looking for somebody. Don't become a casualty to casualness, but be a follower of faithfulness. And then trust God. Paul wrote it in 1 Thessalonians 5. He said, God will make this happen, see, because he's faithful. It says, he who calls you is faithful. So God is faithful. So start talking that way about God. Start saying that to God as you abide. Lord, you are faithful. Speak it. Expect it. I walk humbly. I'm in honor, but I am strong when I say, God, you are faithful, and you want me to be faithful and to bear fruit just like you. God has forgiven us. He loves us. But here's another question. Can God trust us? We want God's blessing, but the question is, can God trust us? Can he trust us? You know, when you're going through relationships, there are problems, and, you know, we go back and forth, and you want to forgive somebody, but Henry Cloud wrote it this way. He said, trust and forgiveness are not the same thing, okay? Trust and forgiveness are not the same thing. Forgiveness has to do with the past of what had been done. Trust has to do with the future. And when we walk, can he trust us? We're wanting his blessing. We're wanting the blessings of what God can give. We want to sing the songs. We want to spin. We want to dance. We want to play our tambourines. We want to quote. But can he trust us with the blessing? Can he trust us with the further anointing? That happens as we abide more and more, as the discipleship thing grows in our heart right now. How do I abide? How do we do it? First, square one, you got to be born again. Or as the old country preacher, you say, born again. You got to be born again. What does that mean? Well, we use the word repentance. And, you know, in the concept of trust and forgiveness and can God trust us, a friend of mine wrote this statement. He said, repentance is not when you cry. Repentance is when you change. Thank you. Good night. Drive safe. Drop the mic. Repentance is not when you cry. Repentance is when you change. That is all the abide mode. That is the word right there. By this they will know. You know, you might not have to wear a sandwich board on the street, but they'll know who you are by the fruit you bear in your life, who you are, what you bring. We must walk in the word, in worship, in our baptism, in fellowship, in devotion. Here's a word you don't hear anymore. Walk in holiness before God. I'm going to deal with that in the weeks to come. Walking in holiness. God doesn't change his mind. Walking in joy. And even learning how to walk in sorrow. And it all must be heart real right now. The first step to abide, how? 1 John, if we confess our sins. That's sins of commission and omission. Okay? He will forgive us. And he is what? There's that word. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we walk in the rewards of his blessed coming. You're going to need help, by the way. I need help. John continued writing a little further in chapter 14. The words of Jesus, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I pray the Father, he'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. I'll abide with you forever. Why? It's a purpose, a process, and a product. You got this on your fridge, probably, Romans 8, and we know. Really, I think the question is, yeah, we say we know, but the side question ought to be, but do we really believe? We know, but do we really believe this? Do we really believe it? That's that abide thing. That is the ongoing step by step, line upon line. Do we really believe this, that God causes everything to work together, his purpose? What is God's purpose? We read it in the first part, that we should be close to him, that we should bear fruit, that fruit should remain, with the final word that God would be glorified. What's the purpose? I kind of like this word said about me. You may not think much about me, but in Ephesians 2, Paul told me I could say this about me and y'all. For we are God's masterpiece, his workmanship. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can, I told you about the plans and the purpose, so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God planned some big things for you and me. I'm afraid at times I haven't lived up to it. I'm afraid at times I haven't quite hit the mark on it. But the best time to start again is right now. Even knowing these scriptures, there's still reasons we don't spend time or the mindset to abide with him. Here's some reasons why we don't abide with him. Number one, just flat denial. Do we really believe it? Are we Christianized? You know, are we Christianized? Or is it something inside of us? A lot of times it's, we don't really believe it sometimes because we want to blame somebody. See that, by the way, blaming is a very lucrative thing right now. You can have groups you can blame, and if you can get in a group to blame somebody else, there's 10 or 20 of them going on, and you can make a lot of money on that right now. Oh, here's sometimes just we don't abide because we're just weary. And if we're weary, check the load we're carrying. Check the other things that are taking our attention and our energies. Adapt those things and then put something like the word there. Here's another thing, idolatry. Is there another thing that we're putting our hope in that's going to take care of us? We live a spiritually schizophrenic life. We've got the holy part that gets us to heaven, but we've got the secular part. That's my job. I'll take care of all those other things. And we lose focus. We lose heart. And that makes us question, can God trust us? Paul wrote it this way. This is why we never give up. That means we don't lose heart. Though our bodies might even be dying, our spirits can be renewed every day. You're going to need that more and more in the days ahead. And from our new covenant perspective, he says in verse 17, for our present troubles are small. I have to keep telling myself that. They won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. This is your abide results. This is what happens. So we don't look at the troubles we can see right now, but rather we fix our gaze. By the way, wherever you fix your gaze, that's where you'll end up. You got it? Wherever you fix your gaze, that's where you will end up. We fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So if you're tempted to be weary and to just give up, he told us in Hebrews 10, so don't throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward. That's the final product, remember? Patient endurance. Remember the prayer message we were talking about prayer a few weeks ago about the ongoing prayer? It's what you need now. And that is what you will continue to do according to God's will. Then you will receive what God has promised. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So don't quit. Stay connected. Take the word and grow. No excuses. Be encouraged. There's help. He's here to help us, especially in our lowest moments, in our failure moments, in our fear moments, in your alone moments. He is here and you need to abide with him. Can he trust us? If we abide, the rest follows. He told us in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. You read the same verse in the New Living and the language says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And in turn, he's with us right now. He promised us that he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. Where did Paul get this thought? He got it from Jesus himself when he's talking to the disciples and he's telling them, he's giving them the word. And in verse 19, Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Now, observe does not mean simple vision, simple recognition. Observe is a deep thing. It's a deep dive. It's a deep study. And it's also, observing it means to put it into practice. You're observing this right now. Teach them. It is a revelation and an application of God's word. All the things I commanded. And he just said, in case you get a little weary and just a little bit tired, I want to remind you, this is what Paul referred to. And I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We've been talking about our musical heritage. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Old song came to my mind while I was getting ready to put this thing to bed. And there was a line about abiding with him. There were different levels of hymnology that we sang. Of course, there was high church, and we didn't really sing a lot of that because we were Southern Pentecostals. We didn't understand some of the Martin Luther songs too much, right? But the lyrics, be this while life is mine, my canticle divine, may Jesus Christ be. We didn't quite understand all of those things at that time. We wanted, since Jesus came into my heart, we needed the little hoedown there thing going on so we could understand it, you know what I mean? But there's such depth in our songs right now. There was a lady by the name, her name was Ann Murphy. In 1908, she gave us a classic gospel song, but it was very difficult at the time. You know, you hear some of the songs right now, and some of the songs, not everything you hear on the radio should be sung in the church, okay? I'll just tell you that right now. Not everything you hear on the radio should be sung in the church. It's for personal edification, because the idea is for people to come together. But this was a very unusual. She was actually a music teacher, so she would teach, and she taught it in a choral thing like that. And maybe some of you might, because it was a little, it was complicated in its setting. What was very unusual for Phil as a drummer there, a lot of the hymns and the old hymns, sometimes there'd be a 6-8, come we that love the marching design. We'd do things like that. And most of the time it was a straight 4-4 or 3-4 time and things like that. And it had a lot to do with it. But she wrote a song that was a little bit different. In fact, the first part of the song, because she was a music teacher, and she would teach, and she would actually, this is like probably a choral arrangement when it's done. And she'd take a 3-4 in the opening. I'm going to show you the difference in just a minute. And then when she did the chorus, it switched to a 4-4 time, which was a little bit different. And then there was a middle part that was going like a little swing thing going on. But the lyric is so great. And it says, there's a peace in my heart. This is a 3-4. That the world never gave a peace that it cannot take away. Though the trials of life may surround like a cloud, I've a peace that has come here to stay. Well, then it would change. And you might not remember it because it was hard to sing. Constantly abide, straight four down. Jesus constantly abiding is mine, constantly dividing, fellowship divine. He never leaves me lonely, whispers, oh so kind. I will never leave you, Jesus is mine. And we would sing constantly abiding, maybe a Sunday night song. It's constantly abiding in that one word. And to sell that message harder, she put an after part. She put an after part in the song. And as they would sing the chorus, as they were singing constant, and the men were going, constantly abiding, constantly. Hey, let's try that. Maybe we try that. Can you do this with me? Go, constantly abiding, constantly abiding, constantly. Keep going. Constant, and they go, constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Got it? See how they did it? And they would do it as a choral thing like that. And the men would sing a part there. But you know what it did? All these years, written in 1908. And I might not remember all of it. And it might have been too hard to sing at the time. But I remember constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. And she got that when she did a devotional on If Ye Abide in Me, and My Words Abide in You. What was her testimony? It was a life that honored and served God all the days of our life, because she got the message as a young girl. She was constantly abiding. Why don't you make that your testimony as you leave here today? I'm constantly abiding in Him. And these are your walking orders today. As we abide, He will abide, right? Abide, dear ones, constantly. Abide, dear ones. So why do we abide? We've been designed. He's got something for us. Stay close. Stay engaged. Work on your walk. And that is the word and the witness. Constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Who knows? We might dig up some other old songs. Let's all stand together.